Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and now up on TSN 2, Brian Hayes, Zio Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We've got Ramona Shelburne joining us later in the hour. Confirm or deny coming up in just a moment. The Jays and Raptors both in action tonight. Leafs coming off a loss in overtime last night. Cole Caulfield wins it in OT. Marner, Matthews, 2-0. They had an opportunity. That was clear. Marner's trying to feed Matthews, get 40. Mm-hmm. Happens. You know, it was. Yeah. You could see it coming. You knew it. Even when Matthews gave it back to him, you're like, this is definitely coming back to 34. And they just couldn't make it work. But, you know, that happens. I got no
you get in that,
that
scenario, and there's all kinds of different. Like, this sounds goofy, but I would have had Marner carrying the puck. And then as you're getting close to the net, you go to Matthews, back to Marner quick, and then you give it back. Instead of holding on right to the last. It's just. That was kind of a goofy explanation, but there, you got a bunch of things. It's not too often you're literally 2-on-0 from the red line in, or you know, just the blue line.
Right.
You got all kinds of things going through your head, but ultimately you can tell the goal was to get Matthews 40th of the season. It just didn't work out.
And sometimes plays like that, there's too much time and you overthink it. And the goalie's going, okay, like, I mean, right away your instinct is like, okay, you know. Like, Allen's, you know that 34 is on there for 40. Yeah.
And I thought Marner would think that, too, and just say, okay, bud, I'm ripping this over your glove because you're going to be lying in the crease trying to stop the cross-crease pass.
You cheat towards it. But ultimately, sometimes when it's such a crazy play, you overthink it. You almost try and pass it into the net. But I'm 3-on-3. That's why I'm like, I just want to get to the playoffs where it's just, you know, so much on the line. You know, it's not 3-on-3. It's not shootouts. It's not, you know, and there's going to be physicality. There's going to be emotion. I've watched too many games this year where it's like just almost like the players are like, yeah, let's try and just get through this one. And, you know, no hitters.
You just want to avoid injury. And that's why the story of the night is Nick Foligno, really.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, you're right.
What happened with him, and we still don't know. And they didn't practice today, so there won't be an update until tomorrow. Sheldon Keefe didn't give an update afterwards. I guess he said something of the lines of, you know, let's see if it settles down and we'll figure it out tomorrow. I'm sure Foligno's there getting rehab or getting looked at or whatever. But that ultimately is the storyline, is the status of Foligno, because it doesn't matter that you gave Montreal, you know, a couple of points unless you'd prefer to play Montreal. I guess in the end it could factor in because now Montreal's officially caught Winnipeg. They're both tied in points with the same amount of games left. So from that standpoint, I guess you could suggest if they held on, the Leafs win in regulation, gives yourself a better opportunity to play Montreal if that's what you're looking to do. But I don't think the Leafs are going to play with, you know, karma like that. They're just going to go about their business, and whatever happens, happens. And ultimately it comes down to making sure you're healthy and you know, hitting on all cylinders, so to speak. So
I know I was texting with Grappler like it was Inspector Clouseau last night trying to figure out the injury. Mm-hmm. Because for, I think all of us, like I flipped it to you guys, I was like, that looked like he came up with like a groin or a hip flexor or something, and then
something
they announced
goofy like that, like lower back.
Yeah,
or, you never know.
They announced upper body. And I was like, okay, that's weird. You know, it just didn't look like there was any type of reaction, you know, on a shoulder or anything. But then Grappler like sent me a screenshot. He's like, it could have happened when he was reaching in here. And
Grappler's breaking down the Zapruder film. I love it.
It was awesome.
Yeah. The conspiracy theorist Grappler.
You hope
I like
he's
it.
All right. Yeah.
Well, the Grappler's all bent out of shape as well, as a big supporter of the PGA Tour. He's like Rob Lowe. Like he would go to a PGA event wearing a PGA Tour hat. And I guess they're on notice because this Premier Golf League.
And by the way, who is trying to set up this Premier Golf League?
I don't have any names behind you. All I hear is it's out of, I believe, Saudi Arabia or, you know, somewhere in Europe or in the Middle East.
Bunch of dudes got a bunch of cash and they want to pay the best players in the world to watch them win a purse.
That is the report is today that there's upwards of $1 billion that they're willing to splash around. They've already reached out to players, guys like Dustin Johnson, DeChambeau, Phil Mickelson, offering upwards of $30 to $50 million just to join
Jesus.
The league. And then the plan would be, it's like an 18 event season spread out all over the world, and then some sort of like a team playoff event that wraps up the season. But basically they're guaranteeing a fortune on the line. And if there's upwards of $1 billion, you do the math. You bring together, you know, 40 players, 50 players, and shake that out over $1 billion. That's a lot of money for everyone.
But the King Daddy topper is, I think Monahan came out and said, you step foot over there, you lose your card.
Right. And that, but that's where it gets dicey, because the PGA Tour's got to do that. And this speaks to why they implemented what they implemented 2 weeks ago.
It's all pressure points, though, Hayes, because that's great and fine and dandy to say that, but what if some guys go, okay,
exactly,
I've already got a ton of cash and I'll go get more.
Exactly. And that, like, the clearly is, does the PGA, they could speak for the PGA Championship, but do they speak for Augusta National? Do they speak for the U.S. Open and the USGA? Do they speak for, you know, the British Open? Because the majors are what it's important. Like, the PGA can control, you know, the Tour Championship, the FedEx, I guess, you know, the PGA Championship. They can take that all away from the players, but I don't know if you can take away every major. And to your point, let's say, like, obviously the guy to bring up is Tiger, who's not a, it's not applicable right now.
Right.
But if Tiger went to this league, there's no way the PGA is going to say, you're not welcome here. Like, he'd be doing both if he wanted to. They're not going to tell him he can't show up at Torrey Pines.
But how could they do that, Hayes? They can't say you're going to lose your tour card and then say to Tiger, okay, but you go ahead and do it.
But that's
and everyone else is, there'll be lawsuits. Everyone else is going to say,
of course,
excuse me, he's doing it, I'm doing it too.
Okay. I think so what would happen is everyone else would be able to do it too, because Tiger would be ultimately the one that makes the call. But it's a moot point anyway, because Tiger's not in a position to do it. But
right. Where is the where's the line, though? Where would the line be of guys with enough cachet to go, I'm doing this? Like,
dude,
Harry,
I think
Higgs
you
is
offer,
like,
no, I, yeah, you know, you offer somebody $30 million to join a league, they're thinking about it. I don't care what their financial situation is. They're thinking about it.
And on top of that, if you win, you can make more money, right?
No,
like,
kidding.
It's like the $30 million, based on the way I read it, is basically an appearance fee. You know, it's like a signing bonus. But, yeah, like, Harry Higgs is probably on the outside looking in. But this has got to be concerning for the PGA Tour. Like, I don't see it happening to the point where a guy like Dustin Johnson leaves. Like, he's American. He makes so much money. You know, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would be interested in, you know, parading all over the world or whatever. I could be wrong on that. But, you know, a guy like, I saw Ricky Fowler. Is it, why would Ricky Fowler not do it? Ricky, he's holding on for dear life on the PGA Tour. Someone's willing to pay him $30 million to go play all over the world. Why would he not take that? And maybe boost his brand that much more. He's already doing commercials everywhere. It's got to be concerning. They're not going to admit to that publicly. But to your point, at some point someone's going to say, I got to take the 50 sheets.
That's like, right.
I've been doing the math, and I just don't see $50 million on the PGA Tour.
And by the way, for everyone that thinks, oh, golfers are rich and everybody has boats and Lamborghinis and everything, everyone's financial situation isn't what it seems. Like, there's probably guys that are in the minus and in the red, and that not everyone that you see on TV in any industry is what you think it is. So
that's right. Yep.
Agreed.
That's right.
Agreed.
So
everyone's different. And you know what? It might be a lifestyle choice too. You know, like that tour might be less of a grind. It may be more centralized. You know, there just might be more opportunity than, to your point, in the PGA Tour. You know, like, I'm grinding, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Mm. So to have an option, the PGA Tour can't be happy about this.
No, if it's legit. Like, if there is, if we're talking $1 billion in heavy hitters, then it's, if this doesn't make you raise an eyebrow, I don't know what would.
Don't you think the key word, and it's embarrassing to say, but the catch word there is, I think everything that gets people's attention, especially athletes right now, is when you toss around the B word, that's when it's like, okay, you've got my attention now.
Yeah, now we're in a different stratosphere.
Yeah, now it's not just Mickey Mouse and this guy's got some dough. It's when you say the B word, guys are like, oh, okay, maybe we can discuss this.
Yeah, it's worthy of considering confirming it or denying it. Do you confirm or deny? Speak of the devil. Let's fire that bad boy up.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto.
This makes me laugh.
In exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
And Confirm or Deny is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Enjoy F-Sport credits of up to $3,000 and a loyalty rate reduction of up to 2%. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all the details. Confirm or deny. We know the way this works. A statement is made. We go around the table. Do we confirm it'll happen or deny it will happen? You guys ready?
Yep.
Yep.
Confirm or deny a 105 total point season for Connor McDavid is now a reasonable expectation.
No, I'm denying it. I think 100 is enough, Hayes. You just keep getting greedier and greedier. I know, but as soon as you say that, he's going to have 6 points. When do they play again? Tonight?
Yeah, they play back-to-back tonight.
Yeah, he'll have 6 points tonight, and then you're going to be like, next day you're going to be like, he could get 120. You never know.
Dude, he's got six games left, and that would mean he needs
against
14
the Vancouver
points.
Canuck team that is just dragging their tongue on the ground right now. They're so tired. It's scary to think what he's going to do tonight, but I'm totally denying it. I think he gets the hunch and then shuts the mill.
Yeah, he got 6 games left, and he needs 9 points
to get to 100. 14
to get to 100.
Or 14 to get to 105.
Yeah, it's too rich for me. I'm sorry. 103, but 105 is very rich.
Although we will leave it open for discussion tomorrow.
That's it, man. That's it. This guy, he had 4 points last night for fun.
I know, you're right, for fun. But it just, I think they play Montreal. I think they play Winnipeg.
It doesn't matter. They can play the 78 halves. This guy's getting points.
You're right. It's a bit rich for me.
Okay.
I'm
confirming.
I'm denying.
You got to read the fine print, okay? Reasonable expectation. Very innocuous. So I'm going to say confirm. I wouldn't be shocked if this guy has 105. How could you be shocked that he's going to put up 14 and 6?
I know.
I wouldn't be. At all. So, yeah, I'll go ahead and confirm that bad boy for sure. Confirm or deny, every single team in the National Hockey League would trade a hefty price to acquire Tom Wilson. Confirm or deny?
Confirm it 100%. There's not one even different thinking, numbers-driven GMs would say no to that. One of the best right-wingers in the league. That's 100% confirm. It's actually a silly.
Well, argument. I agree with it too, but it's
That's it, Jamie. You agree with it. It's confirmed.
No,
it's
every
not
every organization would say we can do that, but we need to change him. We need to make sure that he falls into line with what we're selling here. You know how it is. Every
do you
organization.
Do you think that would happen? Do you think a team would really say, "I want to trade for this guy and rehabilitate him"?
No.
Why would you trade for a guy you think you have the change?
I'm just telling you right now, that would be the narrative. That would be the conversation. Because regardless of what people think or not, I don't think Tom Wilson, goes into a game going, this is how I'm going to act. There are nights where it's like, I reacted poorly. I did something wrong. I've got clipped for this. I just don't think, to Ray's point in the 5 o'clock hour, I've talked to this guy. I've crossed paths with him. Away from the game, he's a fantastic person. During games where he gets carried away, we see what happens.
Yeah, he can be a loose cannon for
but
sure.
You do want him on your team.
No, I'm confirming it. I think that's the bold truth. The Rangers just sent out
a statement. We'll get to that after this segment.
Horrifying act of violence last night. Yet I think the Rangers are included in the league last time I checked, and I think they'd acquire him today if they could. And be a weird PR move, but I think they'd do it. Confirm or deny, even with all of the current turmoil, the Lakers will still make it to the Western Conference Final.
I'm 100% confirming that. I told you earlier, AD, LeBron, they'll come back. As bad as AD has looked recently, and LeBron claims he's not ever going to be 100%, that's all just smoke, man. They're going to come back, and they'll get it together. That's what LeBron does, man. He dials it in. He dials it in, and he'll be ready for playoff time.
Yeah, I'm confirming it. I just.
Although I'm not 100. I confirm that, Hayes, but I'm not.
Change.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's not a real convincing confirm. Well, it's
I can neither confirm or deny that.
Just gonna say that it was a total Fergie one.
Yeah.
But you're not believing it, or what?
Well, no. Listen. This one is a Fergie. This is one where I wish I could say I can't confirm or deny because I'm very conflicted. I believe it. Like, if LeBron's playing, Davis is playing, this team defends as well as anyone in the NBA when they want to and when they're committed to it. And if you defend and you've got guys like that, they've actually gotten better on paper, I think, from the team they had in the bubble last year that won the title. But I'm going to deny it because it does feel like a weird kind of vibe with LeBron in particular. You know, complaining about the play-in, saying he's not at 100%. Now he's going to miss the next two games. High ankle sprains, they can linger. They can really be, debilitating. And I wonder if he's dealing with more than we really know right now. And that's the only thing that can stop me. And maybe I'm just being a contrarian at the same time. I'm going Fergie here. I can't really confirm or deny, but I'll lean deny. Confirm or deny, the Ottawa Senators will either make the playoffs next season or miss by less than 5 points.
Ooh. That's a pretty good one.
What is it? Make the playoffs or
either
miss,
make or if they miss, it's within 5 points.
I'm totally going to confirm that. I love what they're doing there, and they've got the recipe in place.
They've got some
add some talent. They got to find something. I know this is so difficult. We talk about it all the time, how difficult it is, but find some kind of veteran elite centerman, not an Anisimov. And just plug that in and then just let the guys go to town. I think Pinto's going to be a player. I like Norris. But just kind of find that guy, not Derek Stepan, better than that, and see where it takes you. I hope Matt Murray jumps on board for the ride. I think they do it. I think they do it, man.
I think they do it too. But I like you mentioned Pinto. The crazy part about this is they've got a couple guys that aren't even in the lineup. Like this Jake Sanderson, I was talking to a scout last night. Like it said, he's a hell of a player. Ridly Gregg, who I played junior. I'm slightly biased. I played junior with his father, Mark, and he's a hell of a player. Like, you add that in to Stützle, you know, Josh Norris, Brady Tkachuk. The question mark, you need a healthy Matt Murray who is comfortable too. But this Gustafsson, he looks like he's got a chance to be a really good goaltender. So there's some pieces there that have to fall into place. But I think they're on the right path, and the coach has done a great job, and the GM too. We got to give love to Pierre Dorion.
The way they started, it was they were a punchline, I was on stage every night, and I was taking
my
jab.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Was Seinfeld, and I was making observations.
Crushed.
They were getting deservedly so, based on the way they played, specifically on the road. They were getting crushed. They have completely redeemed themselves. They traded in the old hog for something that gets 75 miles to the gallon. They're on their way to Aspen. I give them full credit for the turnaround because they could have mailed it in. I've been very impressed. But I'm going to deny it, and it's not an insult to them. What it is we're getting back to reality next year. Tampa's back. Boston's back. Florida's back.
The whole league's back.
The whole league is back.
I was looking at the division.
So,
you're right.
You know,
it's a tough division. But, where's Detroit going to be? Where's Buffalo going to
be? They'll
be
at the bottom still. But Toronto, Tampa, Boston,
Florida,
Montreal. I still think we'll be ahead of them. And then, do they stay within 5 points? I would not be shocked. I just don't think they're going to make the playoffs next year. I think they'll take another step forward for sure. And they're moving in a very good direction. There's no disputing that. And full credit to them for that. But it's I'm not saying they're going to miss by 20. But I just have them on the outside of that. Final one here. George Springer, confirm or deny. George Springer will finish the season playing 100 or fewer games in center field for the Jays.
Deny that. He's not playing 100 games.
So you confirm it. So, I'm saying he will play less than 100.
Absolutely. Confirm it.
Yeah.
I don't like the way this is going right now, and I don't like the way things sound right now, and they need to stop it immediately.
Well, I'm just like the – you guys know, I just told you the last segment. I didn't like the fatigue comment. That's a blanket comment. I'm worried about that. That's what worries me about this guy. Like, I just don't know we don't know what's nagging him. And I want more of him, obviously. So I'm being a little bit biased, but I'm confirming it.
Yeah, they've already played 27 games. He's not started a game in center field. Clearly, he's not on the verge of doing that. Like, even if he goes tonight, he's DHing. And I would assume he probably DHs the rest of this trip. So that puts you closer to 35 games. You start doing the math, I'm going to have to confirm it as well. It doesn't mean he can't get up to, 80. 85, 90 games in center. And if they're in a playoff position come September and he's playing center field, perfect. That's all that matters. You know, make sure he's prepared to do it come September and into October. But these guys are running off games every single night. And right. He does not appear like he's any closer today than he was necessarily a week or two ago.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, I kind of have to I got to confirm that as well. Confirm or deny, brought to you by our friends at Don Valley North Lexus. Enjoy F-Sport credits of up to $3,000 and a loyalty rate reduction of up to 2%. So visit the website DonValleyNorthLexus.com. That's DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all the details. Ramona Shelburne coming up on the Raptors in L.A. taking on the Clippers. What's up with LeBron? And the New York Rangers have issued a statement. I've never seen anything like this before.
No, neither
have I. They're calling for George Parris to be fired. Like, they're saying it in a statement that he's got to go. And it's the Rangers against the league office, which happens to be down the road in New York.
Headline is Rangers versus 6th Avenue.
That's what it feels like right now, Broadway against 6th Avenue.
I just think it's weird, like they say the rest of the season. They've got three games. The rest of the week.
Yeah,
like
He's out for the rest of the week. But this it doesn't even matter about that anymore. Like, this takes on a completely different complexion. Like, right. This is a powerhouse team. This is James Dolan and the Rangers and Glenn Sather and, you know.
Ah, Sathers, but they put him. I think he's still
technically affiliated with the team. And right. This is New York. It's an original six, big market. And they're saying George Parris has got to be fired because he didn't suspend a guy last night.
Yeah, that's.
We'll get into it. We'll talk about it. More coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we'll get back into this New York Rangers statement that has just been issued publicly calling for the job of George Parris, who runs, you know, the Department of Player Safety and Discipline for the National Hockey League. Pretty explosive, man. I've never seen anything like this.
Never.
No, it's pretty wild. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. The Raptors are in L.A. taking on the Clippers, and we've been discussing all years at different times how quiet it seems out of L.A. when it comes to the Clippers. And did they maybe learn something? Did they have some sort of an epiphany that they just had too many fires, self-inflicted fires last year, and it caught up to them? And this year they're just kind of going about their business. And maybe it's COVID. Maybe it's because we're just living in a different world up here. But let's head down to L.A. now and catch up with ESPN NBA insider and senior writer. Here's Ramona Shelburne. How you doing, Ramona?
Good. How are you guys? Everybody staying safe up there?
We're trying to.
But
we can't leave the house, so everything's safe.
Yeah, I know. You know, that's one thing. If you just don't go anywhere, you should be okay.
Yeah, that's the message.
Got that covered.
Yeah,
we're stay home.
That's what we figured out. That's the marching orders up here, I guess. But what is your take on that from a Clippers perspective? You're up close and personal. You have a different viewpoint than we do, but it seems very quiet. Like last year, they were the content kings, which really goes against the nature of a guy like Kawhi Leonard, who wasn't driving it himself with his sound bites. But we were always talking about the Clippers, and this year we really have not. What's your read on that situation?
Yeah, I think they love it this way. I got to be honest. Like, you know, I think last year that was a big, you know, it didn't work. You know, this whole they put up banners all over L.A. They had these slogans. It was, you know, it was very confrontational. There was this street lights over spotlights, right? They would put those up all over L.A. There was there was a big billboard right out in front of the Lakers facility. I remember I'd drive by it. I was like, ooh, that's right next to their facility. Like every time the players get off the freeway there, you know, drive on into the Lakers facility, they have to see this Clipper billboard saying, you know, it's our town. Like, I think that was definitely duly noted by the Lakers. And they sort of held on to that one whenever they needed a little extra motivation. And that sort of this idea of, you know, putting it out there, being, you know, kind of challenging the Lakers, didn't work. The Lakers won. The Clippers choked. It was not a good look for the team. I don't think they handled all that extra media pressure well. And so this year they know they have to earn it. They know that nobody will take them seriously until they actually win. And so they're keeping their mouth shut. And frankly, I think it's probably good for them in the long run. I think if they ever win, if the Clippers are ever going to break through, it's going to be as an underdog. You know, it's going to be when you don't see them coming or when they're not the favored team anymore. That's probably good.
Ramona, you mentioned the Lakers. LeBron claims he's never going to be 100% again. AD's got to get back on track. Is this just kind of smoke and mirrors, and they just turn into the Lakers, and those two players turn into themselves, and they get back on track as per usual, or is there concern out there?
Well, I mean, you saw the Lakers-Clippers game, and the Lakers-Raptors game the other day, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was ugly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they sucked. I mean, they're not,
yeah, they got smoked.
You know, in that game, they got smoked. I mean, I was watching that game going, boy, Kyle Lowry has has a point.
That's what we call it, the Kyle Lowry game up here.
I was like, that was Kyle Lowry looking at the Lakers going, you guys should have traded for me. this is what you're missing, right? Like any slight like that. I mean, they were obviously pretty close to being able to trade for Kyle. And I think some of the discussion about what he would want as a free agent might have scared the Lakers or the Heat or some of the other teams off. Last year Andre Iguodala changed teams and got a big contract extension in the process, and I think there was a sense of Kyle would definitely get more than that. Andre got, I think, $15 million. I think Kyle will get 20, 25 as a free agent, and I think that maybe that scared some folks off of like, oh, are we going to be able to retain him? But he certainly looked like a guy they needed. He certainly looked like a difference-making player. Even though the Raptors obviously aren't going too far this year, but I think with the Lakers, honestly, they sucked against the Raptors, and then last night I don't know if they saved their season. You know, we still have to see what happens on. They play the Clippers on Thursday, and then they play the Portland Trailblazers on Friday. And that, if you're looking at a game that'll give us an indication of who's going to end up in that play-in tournament, I think the Lakers on the second night of a back-to-back up in Portland, that is the game. The Mavericks have a relatively easy schedule. I think they're going to avoid the play-in tournament. So it's really the Lakers and the Trailblazers. Not set up very well for L.A. Second night of a back-to-back after playing the Clippers. But it's essentially a must-win game if they want to avoid that play-in.
With Ramona Shelburne of ESPN, we've seen leagues like the NBA, any of the big four sports, they're always protecting the brand, protecting the shield.
Yeah.
They don't want to have coaches call out different things, GMs call out different things, players call out different things.
Sure.
Yet LeBron just suggested their new plan, their new implementation should lead to someone being fired. And nothing came out of it. And he's not alone. Doncic did this earlier in the year. How do you think the league feels, though, about a guy like LeBron, his status, his stature, saying that the play-in is as stupid as he believes it is?
Well, I mean, I think the league would be thrilled if the Lakers ended up in the play-in. not that they want them to be, in danger of not going forward or defending their title, but, I mean, in terms of interest level in the play-in tournament, in terms of, like, stakes and ratings, I mean, that would be a bonanza, okay?
Right.
But I think, look, everybody likes the play-in tournament until they're the seventh seed, right? Until they're the team that would have been in any other year, and now you have to play an extra game for it. But I don't know. It's hard for me to feel sorry for the seventh seeds, because the truth is, like, you're going to have to play all these teams anyway, and the seventh seed, all you have to do is win one game. Like, you just win the 7-8 game and you're in. And you still stay the seventh seed. And the Lakers, they had two very winnable games. No offense to the Raptors, but this isn't, as you guys know, it's not really their year.
No.
And then they lost to the Sacramento Kings. Do you have two games against the Raptors and the Kings? You can't get it done? I mean, I don't know. If they end up in the seventh seed, I know they've had bad luck with injuries, but they really, have only themselves to blame. And I think LeBron, the comment that he made that was troubling to me was not about the play-in tournament. I think that's just frustration. It was about, I don't know if I'll ever be 100% again. That, to me, was kind of sad to think of. I mean, that high ankle sprain he had, guys, that was a tough injury. And he's been out for 6 weeks with it. LeBron has fended off Father Time for longer than I think any of us expected. I'm really impressed by what he's been able to do. I hope that he just gets back to being LeBron, because he was the MVP front runner before he got hurt. And
right.
It'd be a shame if we're kind of wasting one of his last good years because of that, that high ankle sprain. I was watching when he did it. I thought his season was over. It looked really bad. It was kind of a bad play too. You know, Solomon Hill just kind of fell on him from behind, and a lot of the guys in the Lakers didn't like that play. Like, why are you diving for the ball when it was clearly going out of bounds? It was a dangerous play. And so I hope that doesn't look back on that play and say, okay, that was one of his last good opportunities. Because, you know, I like seeing the great players in this league at their top condition.
Absolutely. Well, and it's a perfect segue into Russell Westbrook and what he's been doing lately and what he did last night, where, you know, he put up 8 shots, he had 14 points, 21 rebounds, 24 assists. I mean, it's just, it's a remarkable stat line.
Yeah.
And this is a guy, I think, a perfect example. There are players like this scattered throughout all sports who in the moment can be somewhat polarizing in terms of ranking. No one disputes his greatness and his talent. But I think in 20 or 30 years, people are going to look back on Russ and say, why is he not considered maybe greater than he was at the time? Because he's a walking, talking triple-double. He's going to break the record. It's just a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
And his coach, Scott Brooks, came out post-game and said he believes Russ is the second greatest point guard of all time. Where do you stand on the historical value of a guy like Russ and what he's doing right now?
So I appreciate Scott Brooks' loyalty to his guy. I would venture to offer, I don't know, John Stockton. Okay.
Yeah.
There's 3 or 4 other point guards I'd put ahead of Russ. Okay. Which is not to say that Russ isn't great. I've appreciated him in this league for a long time. I think I just like how hard he plays. I like guys who, I mean, that guy, when you watch Russ play, you get your money's worth every time. There's no load management. You know, there's no taking plays off. Now, does he chase stats? Probably, right? I mean, there's some of those empty calorie stats, yeah. But I like how, does he play his butt off every single second he's on the court? Yes. And that's something to appreciate and admire, especially in this era, where there's so many guys that just, you know, take nights off and, you know, are kind of just, you know, these each game, whether it's a Tuesday night in Charlotte or a, you know, ABC primetime game Saturday night in New York, they play the same way. And I think we need more of that in the NBA. And I just did a story on Steph Curry this week. And I would say Russ and Steph Curry, the two guys, I don't care who they're playing, what night they're playing, what game, I kind of want to watch. Like, I just want to see them play because they always bring it. And, you know, I mean, when's the last time you saw Steph Curry mail it in? You know, when's the last time you saw Russ mail it in? And never. They're out there. They're entertaining. And I think the league needs more of that, because if you notice, the sort of casual fan has dropped out of the nightly cycle, especially since COVID hit.
Yeah, no, that's indisputable. For sure. And I think it's well put. Great stuff, Ramona. We always appreciate the time, and we'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Hey, I hope I get to see you up in Canada sometime, you know?
Yeah,
I hope this is just a one-year thing. You know, you guys be safe up there. I know.
You could zoom
I read all about the surge going on up there. You guys be safe, okay? You know, we dealt with that here in California over the winter. I just stayed at my house and went on walks. You know?
That's the play.
Get everything
up here
delivered. It passes,
right.
I'll tell you, hopefully, you know, make it through and make it through the surge and there will be brighter days ahead. I'm thinking about you up there because I know what it's like. We had this a couple months ago here, and now, you know, we're a good success story. We have the lowest rate, I think, in the country now in California. So brighter days are ahead.
Beautiful. Well, we'll take your P's and Q's, and we'll be there soon. We know it.
We'll
see you soon, too, as well. Thank you, Ramona.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Ramona Shelburne of ESPN. Yeah, I read that about California, like really low in terms of, I think, daily case rates and, you know, per 100,000 and all that kind of stuff.
Well, they've got an overabundance of vaccines.
Vaccines,
and
a big part of it.
People that have been vaccinated, so that kind of helps the process along.
There's so many states down there that are, like, New York's opening up, I want to say, like, May 24th or something. They're just like, it's open. Like, Broadway's open and no restrictions on restaurants, bars, anything. And
one thing I found peculiar, Hayes, I got my first shot yesterday, okay? And as I was leaving, two people showed up early, and the security guy said, yeah, you could just go on in because we're not busy right now. And what I didn't understand about that was, how the hell are you not busy? How are you not doing? Is it just because there's not
vaccine? There's confusion. There's limitations on who can get it.
Right. I just shook my head and I just said, I cannot believe I just heard that. Well, I can't believe enough, I just heard that.
That's why these this vaccine hunter guys on Twitter are doing such an incredible service for the whole country right now, because they're finding spots all throughout the country, blasting it out on Twitter and social media, saying go, go, go. Like, no lineup, go. Because it is, there's a lot, there's so much confusion.
Well, they
right
deserve
now.
An award.
Yeah, they do, and I think they'll get them. And they you know, but it's, there's a lot of confusion on, can you go through the province? Can you go, do you go through the original PHU or your own PHU? Do you, is it 55 and up or is it 40 and up? Is it, you know, essential worker? Is it like, there's, everything's changing rapidly. And I think a lot of people are confused on whether or not they check the right box, you know.
Yeah.
And then there's other people that are just calling. I don't blame them. But then that's why you get line. You know, you got to be on hold for an hour, or you got to wait 3 hours.
And then you got a hospital. I talked to a head of a hospital. It's like, yeah, we were supposed to get doses. We didn't. But, you know, somehow that's Doug Ford's fault.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, but, and the AstraZeneca stuff
in freezers.
Is...
Like, there's all the propaganda out there, as you said before, Hayes, it's like political instead of people working together.
Just going back and forth now.
It's
ridiculous.
That's
exactly what's going on. But there's supposed to be a lot of shipments showing up. And you know, hopefully they're moving up
today.
The first and second doses relatively soon. I guess we'll find out. But anyway, I mean, the numbers are what they are. They're coming down a little bit, although they said they're still not allowing anyone to do anything outdoors. Christine Elliott said that today, like something along the lines of numbers and hospitalizations still have to come down before they allow us to play tennis or go. It's just outrageous. Yeah. Like we're 18, 19 days into this and nothing's changed. And it's like the numbers are starting to come down and people are starting to, you know, I understand we're not in a perfect spot. I get it. But I think we can have some more reason here. Let people get outside. You know, the weather's going to start turning. It's been raining a lot, which I guess helps if you play tennis or golf or basketball or whatever. You really haven't had that opportunity. But the sun's coming out by the end of the week. Let people get out. You know, like,
be nice.
Get some sun. Get out there and relax. Get out there socially distanced, all that kind of stuff. We've been through it. The thing is, we've been through this part before. We did it last spring. You know, like, I think people understand how to react for the most part. But you got to be allowed to do it. And that's what's so frustrating at this point, I think, for a lot of people. Speaking of frustrations boiling over, the New York Rangers have issued a statement on Tom Wilson not being suspended for his antics last night. We'll read the statement and the potential aftermath. We'll get into that to wrap up the show. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
My man, Ryan Pettigrew, sent me a tweet. Said, man, get on the vaccine hunters. I'm 29. No appointment. Went to Downsview, got a vaccine. And I just gave him the thumbs up. And then he followed it up with, I tried to use the Jiffy app and type in the Hazy Bee promo code and no dice.
That would be awesome.
So the Jiffy app is dialed in, but it can't get you, Rhino.
Well, there's a couple things I would probably say on that. If he's used the Jiffy app promo code before, you can't use it more than once. It's the first time, your first time using it. But promo code sports, not Hazy B. Probably typed in Hazy B.
Dude, the guy was trying to be funny. You don't have to start picking apart his tweet.
Well,
he
I'm going to pick apart the tweet because Jiffy's, you know, they're our friends and they do great work. And let's not start pumping out misinformation about the app and the way it works.
I was on the Jiffy app
sports
today. I had a visitor from Jiffy today.
Shout out to the good people of the Jiffy app and JiffyOnDemand.com. All right, so the Rangers have issued a statement here. And it's pretty explosive. Let me read through it. It's going to take me, you know, a little bit here. I'm reading at the end of the show, which can be a little bit dangerous, but I'm sure, I'm assuming Megan's got it. There it is up on the screen. The New York Rangers are extremely disappointed that Capitals forward Tom Wilson was not suspended for his horrifying act of violence last night at Madison Square Garden. Wilson is a repeat offender with a long history of these type of acts, and we find it shocking that the NHL and their Department of Player Safety failed to take the appropriate action and suspend him indefinitely. Wilson's dangerous and reckless actions caused an injury to Artemi Panarin that will prevent him from playing the rest of the season. We view this as a dereliction of duty by NHL head of player safety George Peros and believe he is unfit to continue in his current role.
That doesn't sound like Gorton or John Davidson that would be behind that, to be honest with you. So is who is that?
James Dolan? Is that the owner?
That's who that sounds like.
That's got to come from the top. Some money.
Yeah. Like, I guarantee you go up against a league, Bettman's not going to back down.
No, like, you're not. You can't fire Peros.
You just cost yourself some money, like, which is fine. Like, Dolan's made of money, but they're gonna find him. And the big, you know, comment will be like, Wilson gets $5,000. These guys are going to get $100,000.
That's what's going to happen. They probably will, because a statement like this cannot come from your GM or president. This is the owner. You're calling out the league. You're calling out Gary Bettman here, saying you better fire this guy. Because make no mistake, who Peros' boss is, it's Colin Campbell, I believe, immediately. But then above that, it lands on the desk of Gary Bettman. But there's a couple things that stick out here. One, you know, they're calling for the firing of Peros, who works for the league, who the owners put there effectively, including the New York Rangers. Also, they're suggesting an indefinite suspension. So basically, like, get this guy out for a long time, and we'll when the dust settles, we'll make a decision on Wilson. A couple of things that stick out to me. One, what always bothers me about these situations, I don't deny that they're sticking up for their team, sticking up for their guy, and they don't like Wilson. Yeah. I get it. And I don't dispute that they're looking at that and they're furious. Every team would be. But at some point in their history and some point in their future, the shoe will be on the other foot. You won't hear a peep. Won't hear a peep out of the Rangers, right? When it's their guy doing something stupid and ugly, and they'll, no, all good here. Oh, Chris, we thought Kreider, it was a two-minute penalty.
Didn't Chris Kreider run Carey Price and put him out of the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, his argument was he slipped or whatever. But there, you know, listen, there's been a long history of things that have happened in New York that will continue. They've been around for 100 years, and you know, calling for Peros' head here is really extreme. And personally, I also wonder why the Rangers can't get to a point where they decide, you know, we're not happy, but we'll deal with it ourselves then. You know, like, why do you have to yell and scream that Peros has to lose his job here because you didn't get your way?
That's a ridiculous take. Like, I don't know. You pissed off. I get it. But I think of all the sports we've covered, I've never seen anything in my life like this.
No, a league employee. And that's what Peros is. He works for the league.
Right.
Like, the Rangers pay his salary, you know, a portion of it, 1/32nd of it. And they're saying he should be fired because he didn't do what they wanted him to do.
Right.
Yes.
And that's what it is.
And listen, you know, you're right, Brian, in the future and in the past, you know, there were people that are after the Rangers that employed Tony DeAngelo for how long, and there were some issues there. You know what I mean? Like, nobody's perfect. And that's the thing. Like, right now, they're pissed off. It's a hot button topic. You know, Panarin, like I say, the rest of the season, they're three games out. Their season's done Saturday. So, you know, he might have been available to them on Tuesday if they were going into the playoffs. Like, I get it. They're standing up for their player, and they're allowed to do that. But it's a slippery slope. You're going to call for, like, to me, they've opened up a door here that I don't know.
Well, now you've set yourself a standard. Like, we've talked about this all day. They wouldn't – who would go out there and acquire Tom Wilson? We all believe everyone in the league would acquire Tom Wilson.
Right.
The Rangers are now saying they're above that style of play. Like, that's kind of how I read it. They're announcing to the world that they will not be taking part in any craziness on the ice, which can happen.
So you think if Gorton got a phone call saying, do you want Tom Wilson for a fourth-round draft pick tomorrow, they'd say no?
Well, if they did, it's the ultimate hypocrisy now after this statement. You know, I think Jeff Gorton would jump on it on a heartbeat. I think Dan Quinn, the head coach, would too. But now I guess Dolan's maybe saying he wouldn't. Or if he would, he's got to wait for a while. Because, you know, I'm telling you, this puts a target on their back in a way, them yelling and screaming that they didn't get their way. Next time any of your guys do anything, I don't even wait for the league to suspend them. You do it indefinitely.
Right.
You do it. Right?
No,
you don't like it?
Right.
You think someone should be – and, again, I felt uneasy all day because I don't like sticking up for Tom Wilson. But I don't – of all the infractions throughout his career, this is further down the list in terms of things that have happened. And the league came to a conclusion. The Rangers are clearly not happy with it, but
– well, we'll see where this goes. There's going to be another storyline tomorrow because the league is going to have a response about it and put out a statement saying, we stand behind George Peros' decision. We discussed it. And, oh, by the way, you know, you're fined $100,000
and you're playing tomorrow night.
And you're playing tomorrow night.
So what kind of message is this to his own team? No one can fight Tom Wilson tomorrow night. Don't want to see any like, I don't know what this means. It's happening on the fly, but we'll digest it tonight. We'll break it down tomorrow. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at?
The grappler is Wilson. Hayes is Panarin. 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.